From a distance, the man struggling up the white face of the glacier might have looked like an ant crawling slowly up the side of a dinner plate. The shantytown of La Rinconada was a collection of scattered specks far below him, the wind increasing as his elevation did, blowing powdery gusts of snow into his face and freezing the damp tendrils of his black hair. Despite his amber goggles, he winced at the brightness of the reflected sunset. Still, the man was not afraid of falling, although he was using no ropes or belay lines, only crampons and a single ice axe. His name was Alistair Hunt, and he was a mage. He shaped and molded the frozen substance of the glacier under his hands as he climbed. Handholds and footholds appeared as he inched his way upward. By the time he reached the cave, midway up the glacier, he was half frozen and fully exhausted from bending his will to tame the worst of the elements. It sapped his energy to exert his magic so continuously, but he hadn't dared slow down. The cave itself opened like a mouth in the side of the mountain, impossible to see from above or below. He pulled himself over its edge and took a deep, jagged breath, cursing himself for not getting there sooner, for allowing himself to be tricked. In La Rinconada, the people had seen the explosion and whispered under their breaths about what it meant, the fire inside the ice. Fire inside the ice. It had to be a distress signal or an attack. The cave was full of mages too old to fight or too young. The injured and the sick, mothers of very young children who could not be left, like Alistair's own wife and son. They had been hidden away here in one of the most remote places on the earth. Master Rufus had insisted that otherwise they would be vulnerable, hostages to fortune, and Alistair had trusted him. Then, when the enemy of death hadn't shown up on the field to face the mage's champion, the Makar girl upon whom they'd pinned all their hopes, Alistair had realized his mistake. He'd gotten to La Rinconada as fast as he could, flying most of his way on the back of an air elemental. From there, he'd made his way on foot, since the enemy's control of elementals was unpredictable and strong. The higher he'd climbed, the more frightened he'd become. "Let them be all right," he thought to himself as he stepped inside the cave. "Please, let them be all right." There should have been the sound of children wailing. There should have been the low buzz of nervous conversation and the hum of subdued magic. Instead, there was only the howl of the wind as it swept over the desolate peak of the mountain. The cave walls were white ice, pocked with red and brown where blood had splattered and melted in patches. Alistair pulled off his goggles and dropped them on the ground, pushing farther into the passage, drawing on the dregs of his power to steady himself. The walls of the cave gave off an eerie, phosphorescent glow. Away from the entrance, it was the only light he had to see by, which probably explained why he stumbled over the first body and nearly fell to his knees. Alistair jerked away with a yell, then winced as he heard his own shout echo back to him. The fallen mage was burned beyond recognition, but she wore the leather wristband with the large hammered piece of copper that marked her as a second-year magisterium student. She couldn't have been older than 13. "You should be used to death by now," he told himself. They'd been at war with the enemy for a decade that sometimes felt like a century. At first, it had seemed impossible. One young man, even one of the Makaris, planning to conquer death itself. But as the enemy increased in power and his army of the chaos-ridden grew, the threat had become inescapably dire, culminating in this pitiless slaughter of the most helpless, the most innocent.